Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
And specifically this week, we're going to be reflecting on our own spiritual experiences. We're going to be looking at examples in the Bible that you've heard where people get it wrong. And we'll also see actually what we might be able to do to look forward and getting deeper, also deeper in the next couple of weeks, because our book, and I've forgotten it again, I did it this morning, I have a book, I can represent it, it's in my handbag. The Familiar Stranger, you can see actually on the slides, it looks, yes, there, see, who needs the real thing when you've got technology? So that's the book that we're doing. This is week two of that series, and there'll be future weeks. I'm covering spiritual experience, and you can see that we've got discernment, prophecy, healing, witness, redemptive suffering, and the way of love coming. So let's do a recap of what Max did last week. But before we do that, I just want to personally thank, in my life, the Holy Spirit for being that still, small voice. And I'd like him to rest upon us with his breath and breathe life into us again this morning, as we've witnessed already with the baptisms. So, Holy Spirit, catch up. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. That was a bit of a revelation to me, actually, truth be told. But I'm totally there with it, and actually it makes much more sense. The Holy Spirit is a gift freely available to everyone. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He fights for us. You can know him. You can know the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He is a teacher. He reminds us. He is a comforter. And he comforts us so we can comfort others. And he is the Spirit of truth. So let's look at Simon the sorcerer and Nicodemus. I'm going to make a joke about Nicodemus. I don't know if anybody remembers Nicodemus and pliers. No. Yes. Yes, Jerry. Only a certain demographic are going to know that. But yeah, did amazing songs. Look them up. Okay. So Simon the sorcerer has a background in sorcery and he knows he's good. He's boastful and the people love him, incorrectly thinking he is of God. And the people then hear Philip speak of the good news. They hear Philip speak specifically of Jesus. And then they know that actually this is God. And they are baptized. And Simon was baptized too. When Philip came, he prayed that the new believers would receive the Holy Spirit. They had been baptized, but now with prayer they received the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they received the Holy Spirit when the apostles laid hands on them. And actually, we've got our prayer shack at the back, which is amazing. And that will be stationed at the end of the service. So if anybody wants that prayer, specifically they want to have their hands laid upon them to receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you to do that. And it's special and it's a wonderful blessing, and I'm very grateful for the prayer shack. Okay, back to Simon. Simon makes a huge mistake and he asks for the same ability and he offers to pay for it. And Philip says, you cannot buy the gift of God with money. And Simon recognized the power of God, but he didn't realize it was a gift, not an ability, it was a gift. And now let us look to Nicodemus. So, as the member of the Jewish ruling council, he knew the practices and habits of his religion. Religion was really ingrained in him and he knew what was right. But he also knew in his heart that Jesus was of God. And he had an uncomfortable wrestling feeling. And he went and he asked Jesus in the night. I presume it was secretly and he was a bit embarrassed. Careful to not let his other ruling council members see him. And Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again, like our friends here. He must be baptized. He must be born of water and the flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And Nicodemus knows this in his heart, but his head can't compute. How can he live by the Spirit as a newborn follower of Christ and give up all his traditions and trappings? And I feel for Nicodemus. He was bold in coming to Jesus. Simon was stupid. And I wonder whether he had a redemptive story, but I Googled and I don't think he did. But I probably more associate with Nicodemus, that crippling embarrassment and awkwardness when you know something is of God, but you can't get over yourself and grab it with both hands. So what does your experience of the Holy Spirit look like? Has church at times seemed like all show and no grace? Have you seen routine prioritized over heart? And inwardly, can our spiritual experiences and gifts be overtaken by our abilities? Are we focusing on power and judgment when we should be looking at grace and service? And we were challenged in the passages, is it right with God? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it has come from or where it is going. So it is with everything born of the Spirit. And we must be of open hearts. We must ask ourselves, is it right with God? A relationship with the Holy Spirit is available to us all. And a relationship is a lot like a muscle. It needs work and it needs flexing. The more we use and rely on the muscle, the stronger it is. And it's not always heavy lifting, but when it is straining times, when we have that muscle to rely on, it's certainly easier. And in marriage, friendships, families, we must work on our relationships. We must work on our relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person. See, I got that, as a person. We must spend time in prayer and reading our Bibles and in conversation with the Holy Spirit. And then our ability to recognize God through the Holy Spirit as that still small voice will be so much more heightened. Wanted to spend the rest of my time this morning giving you a couple of my testimonies of a few really kind of standout experiences that I've had with the Holy Spirit in my life. And testimony was spoken about in that passage. You know, how are we testifying? How is our relationship spoken about? And I always think, actually, it's interesting when you hear a bit more about people, isn't it? So here are a couple of my testimonies in my life of how I've experienced the Holy Spirit. And I want, I'm going to embarrass her now, but Grace was a terrible sleeper. She was just terrible, absolutely terrible. Somebody asked me to keep a sleep diary and it was eye-watering. She was up like 16, 17 times a night. I really hope Holly's not listening. She was a really, really bad sleeper and I was really, really despairing. And this went on for a number of years. And I remember just crying myself, not just the child, me crying in the middle of the night at like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning after she's been up for like seven times already. And in my despair, in the corner of the room, there I saw Jesus. And I saw him like just being with me, not saying it's going to be fantastic, it'll be fine. Because there was no miracle. She didn't get to be a better sleeper. But I knew that Jesus was with me at my lowest point. And that was a real, real blessing. And I remember telling John about it as well. My second standout experience with the Holy Spirit was in a Christian festival called New Wine. John and I went with our three children and it was awful. It was the most torrid, horrible, horrible time for a holiday, but it was very filled with the Holy Spirit. we will never be going back to new wine with love, because actually new wine's fantastic. I don't want to do it a disservice, but this was like the worst holiday ever. John cut himself with a tin can and it was raining and our tent flooded. And we had this like crisis council where we were going to go home on a holiday, which is absolutely unheard of. We've paid the money, we're staying, but we almost left. And then the leaders actually, the Harcourts who run the thing, they actually came and spoke to us. And not because they knew we were going, it was just God sending everybody our way to try and help us. And then I was in this big tent, and then the speaker was like, right, I want to give you all 5 minutes to talk with your friends and others, and maybe have quiet time with yourself, 5 minutes to talk about what God wants you to do. And I was like, 5 minutes? I can't give you 5 minutes. I'm just trying to keep three small people alive. If I close my eyes for 5 minutes, they're all dead straight away. So I said to God, right, I'm basically giving you 30 seconds, absolute tops. And then immediately he said this: considering the question, what does God want you to do? And he said to me this. And I knew then the relief that God wants me to do exactly what I'm here doing, keeping tiny people alive who are determined to hurt themselves. I've got three of four, so we're on three of four people. Okay, so the third is when I'd fallen pregnant with Joy. So I was about, yes, well done, Joyce just stuck her hand up there. Hey, well done, Joy. So I was about kind of 3 to 4 weeks pregnant, and I had just like a sharp, and it must happen to all parents, just was like, oh, I wonder if the baby's going to be okay. And I heard God say really clearly, just over breakfast, nothing crazy, just said, the baby will be fine. And I was like, oh, cool. Carried on. And then around about 14 weeks, when I was 14 weeks pregnant, we received the diagnosis that Joy would have Down syndrome. And then when I was 34 weeks pregnant, they asked us if we wanted to continue with the pregnancy because they didn't know if she would be born kind of alive. And throughout that whole thing, I knew God had said to me, the baby will be fine. And I had just like the most amazing pregnancy. I was amazing. I bossed it, absolutely smashed it, because I had that sense of peace that the Holy Spirit gives you. And my last one, the raffle ticket. Now, I've talked about three that are quite seminal. This is about a raffle ticket. We went to a Christmas party. I'd been reading The Familiar Stranger, and I was really like pushing my conversations with God and with the Holy Spirit. And I was really kind of doing that testing and provoking and saying, is this of God? Is this not? Is this of God? If this not. So we went to this Christmas party and we bought raffle tickets. I hate raffle tickets. I hate raffle. It's a faff. I don't think many people share that opinion, because I said that at St. Thomas and some people looked aghast. Like, totally invested in the raffle. I'm not invested in any raffle. Anyway, the children are. They love a raffle. So I wanted to go home at 8, raffles drawn at 9. I said, fine. If there is an opportunity to leave before 9 o'clock, I'm taking it, God. All right, you can put your hand down, Bo. So we stayed until 9, and I heard God say, you will win the raffle. The children don't know this. All right, I have told this to John. You will win the raffle. And I was like, I don't care. Fine. If there's an opportunity to go, I'll go. If there's not, we'll stay. And honestly, you could have filmed this. It was like a movie. There were 5 draws of the raffle. Comes to the final 5th draw. 2 tickets are drawn that are then put back because people have already run the raffle prizes and they quite graciously don't want to take 2 raffle prizes home. So on the 3rd draw, our number was called and we won the raffle. The children, apoplectic, so excited. I was like, oh, I've got to carry this raffle home. And before Bo chips in more, and I really wanted to kind of focus on this, what does this lesson teach me about the Holy Spirit, about me listening to God and then winning the raffle that I didn't want, but the children did? And actually, I'm not sure. I don't know. There's a mystery around the Holy Spirit that we'll never truly know. But that conversation with God used me to bless my children. They loved it. And it's the glory and the blessing of a conversation with God with no real panic or drama. It's the everyday. It's a familiar experience with a known friend who prompts me, who knows me, and who loves my family. And above all of this, we have heaven to aim for and heaven to keep us guided and truthful. So enjoy the Holy Spirit as something normal, but also rely on that Holy Spirit as something really strong and a strong muscle. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.